Your Majesty, you look like the piss boy. And you look like a bucket of shit.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
Okay, all right. Let me get ready here. Let me stretch or something. Oh my God, you're back. Welcome to the latest and greatest episode of Toilet of Hell Radio. My name is Breno. You already knew that, though. And joining me alone today is 365 Days of Horror, or as we so sweetly refer to him, Jordan. Jordan, how the hell are you?
I'm doing okay. You know, honestly, I gotta say, it's better to be pissed off than pissed on.
Is it?
In this case, yes.
We're going to have to talk more about that. We're going to have to really, really deep dive. We're going to have to get good and wet on that subject.
Splash around in the toilet of hell.
Mm-hmm. We're really obligated to talk about that, given the bodily function.
And because we are the number one metal podcast in the world.
Yeah, did you? I don't know if everybody listening knew that, but the results came in, and we are by far the single most popular listened to metal podcast in the entire universe, actually. So, we don't really need any congratulations for that, but you can sign up for the Patreon if you want more. If you Google Patreon and Toilet of Hell with a OV, I'm sure you'll find it, but I suggest doing that. So, how have you been, Jordan? How's your week been?
Oh, man, hanging in there. I'm going to have to spend like the next 2+ weeks finally clearing out my dad's house. We sold it and it's done. And now it's get everything out because new people are moving in. And it's just been such a slog of trying to find charities to actually take stuff. You hear all the time about charities need this, need that. Not many want to actually come and get the stuff. They just want money.
Right. Like they tout a constant need for stuff, but the moment the stuff needs to go to them, they're nowhere to be found. I've had that experience. Like, my mother has been like a buried alive level hoarder her entire life. And so we're always trying to bring shit to places, but, even in good condition, they don't always take stuff.
Yeah. You have your Salvation Armies and your Goodwills, and it's just like, Nope. We're not coming to pick it up. Sorry. You're just going to have to find a dumpster for those hundreds of books that you have. And, this end table has a teeny little scratch in it. We can't take it. You're on your own.
We had a big cleanup in my place, my wife and I, recently. And she has thousands of books. She's a big reader. So we had loaded up books with all these used books that she no longer needs. And there are tons of used bookstores in this area. And as such, they have like your like big drop off crate, right? It kind of looks like where you would stuff a bag of clothes, but it's just for used books. And so I brought all these books over to one, and I was like, oh man, you know, this feels great. I'm going to make all this room. And I put one book in there and it slid right back out. There were just mountains and mountains of untouched books just sitting in that fucking crate. And I had to get very creative trying to stuff my, first of all, very big arm into this little slot, trying to see if I could just shove random paperbacks and hardcovers into all these corners to see if I could just unload all of this shit. So, I hope they finally open it up and just get an avalanche of reading, just crushing them below.
And I know a lot of those, especially the clothes donation, shoes donation, a lot of those places just resell that stuff. It's not actually going to charity. But I'm at the point where I don't care. Like, just get it away from me. I can't deal with all of this stuff all the time. So it's either it goes in the dumpster or someone else gets something out of it. And I'm more than happy for someone else to make $1.50 off of this thing that would go in the dumpster if, you know, I didn't have any other option.
Right, because they have the means to pay for the overhead of, you know, churning stuff out. One thing that was a big deal, like I mentioned about my mother before, is that she wanted to sell everything, and everything had to go on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. And I'm just like, Mom, we don't have time for that. Nobody in the fucking local area is going to want to spend $380 on some 90-year-old hutch that's 700 pounds. Like, just let's get this fucking thing out of here. if sledgehammer or otherwise, let's just fucking get it out of our lives. So yeah, I definitely feel for you. I know that's a shitty situation. Emptying out a house, especially if it's just full of stuff, is very tough to do.
Yeah, I mean, made a lot of progress, but it's just look around your house, look around your apartment, and then get rid of everything and just think of like what that entails and how many trips to the dump to get rid of stuff and what you want to keep and what has sentimental value but is too big to fit in your car to move to another place. It sucks. Don't talk to your parents. Have them get rid of stuff while they're still alive to help you out.
Oh, I've been trying. And yeah, I would. That's a great exercise. Everybody listening, just imagine, if you will, being subtracted instantly from the universe, because that will happen one day. And just look around at all the bullshit you just leave around. It's like someone is going to have to pick that up and do something with it.
And I'm having to clear out my own personal place now of other stuff to make room for this new stuff that's going to be coming in. And a lot of it's been like, I'll watch this DVD someday. I'll watch this. I'm never going to watch it. Get rid of it now.
Right, right. Just put it in the trash and then find out a year later it's worth $4 million on eBay.
Well, I don't think my 10-pack of Steven Seagal DVDs is going to appreciate in value anytime soon.
Yeah, but definitely like original white case VHS of Aladdin, which we all had in our houses. We all had that as like 90s kids. You could sell that in good condition for like a couple thousand.
It's the one article that everyone's seen shared around once every 6 months saying, oh, you could have $4,000 worth of Little Mermaid VHSs if they look like this case. And you don't have that, yeah. And no, it's not going to be worth that much.
You had it. And even if you didn't have it, the thing about collectors is they're always trying to, you know, lowball you so that they can get it for $100 and then turn on and tell everybody and say, oh, I have something that's worth $4,000. I can make $4,000 easy on this thing. Well, why don't you? Oh, I see. Because there's no fucking market for any of that crap. Anyway, we've been talking about stuff. There's more stuff to talk about. Specifically metal stuff. Specifically metal news stuff. So how about we do that, Jordan? Why don't we get into the metal news and let's put off the inevitable for a little bit. Let's talk about some other stuff so as not to just piss away this entire episode.
We've given people a little drip of news, but they have to wait until they get the full face blast of liquid metal news.
Fucking liquid metal.
I hope he just spends an hour talking about it. It would be so funny. He deserves it. He deserves to have a good story.
He's out there cranking his yank, spending an hour watching it anyway.
So what metal news do you want to talk about? There's a few things that we can go into. We can go a little more recent stuff, or we can go more classic metal.
Let's do this, because I think that every single listener to Tilt Radio out there would be incensed if we did not cover every waking second of this man's life and career, because for some reason we've just been tasked with as much. Of course, I'm talking about Tim Lambesis.
With that intro, it could have been Tommy Vex too.
It could have been him, or honestly, like four dudes. It could have been him. It could have been. I mean, we usually try to leave the Corey Taylor stuff alone because there's just so much of it. But no, Tim Lambesis is a really interesting case study for us, because I think we like to push people in the right direction morally with their listening. I know that that's just something we're pretty big on, and he is such an interesting case because so many people have refused to do that and continue to give this man a career. But it seems like As I Lay Dying with Nick Hippa is kind of on its way out. He quit the band. He's starting something else. And it looks like now Tim Lambesis is doing a side project that is not Austrian Death Machine, which is worth listening to. It's something all different, all new. Do you have anything in front of you about this?
Tim Lambesis has a new band called Born Through Fire, which is, I don't know if it's trying to be funny or not, but remember he fell into a bonfire like a year ago?
That's the first thing I thought of, but you said it, not me.
And it's either the religious connotations, which is entirely possible too, or it's, haha, I fell dick and balls first into a fire and we're going to run with it.
Well, you remember how he blamed trying to kill his wife on some temporary atheism? You know, I'm glad he got better. I'm glad that that just extreme sickness has finally just rid itself of him, and now he's finally found Jesus's light once more, and he's doing this whole new deal with. I mean, are there any other big names? We got drummer Luke Holland from The World Alive. Do we know who that is? I don't know who that is.
I know that. They're just one of those like third or fourth wave metalcore bands that cropped up around like late 2000s and have just been around for 10 years.
Oh, you know what? Now it's kind of coming back to me. Earlier this year, Limp Bizkit was sued by a woman. We didn't talk about this, I don't think, but Limp Bizkit was sued by a woman allegedly injured in a bonfire accident in 2020. So not only did he burn himself, he burned somebody else. I think we missed out on that part. and then as you go down the article, in 2013, Limp Bizkit did what? He was arrested for attempting to hire a hitman to murder his estranged wife. Amazing. There was a lot going on with this camp, but I don't know, man. I guess we can give everybody a taste, and we'll play a little clip of this song's called Bone by Bone from Born Through Fire by the guy Tim Lambesis you all know and love. So here it is.
A local Christian music star says he's sorry for plotting to kill his wife. Tim Limp Bizkit pleaded guilty in 2014. That was after telling people at a Carlsbad gym that he wanted to, quote, get rid of his wife, Megan. Limp Bizkit was sentenced to 6 years in prison, but got out a year ago. Now he's speaking publicly for the first time in a Facebook post. He says there is no defense for what he did.
All right, now that we heard that, I have an honest question for you and everybody else. Do you think everybody gets really mad when we have like an episode dedicated to playing a certain kind of music and we just play bullshit the whole time?
I don't know. I think it works sometimes.
No one's complained, I guess. That's what I'm saying, is I literally haven't seen a complaint, but
I guess people just stop listening. It's one of those survivor biases things. You just never hear from those people ever again.
Right. It's like I promise you an entire hour and a half of Psycho Sinner material, and what you get instead is an honest effort from us to avoid copyright infringement, and I apologize about that. But yeah, it's I'll make sure to play more like ear-splitting recorder music and dead memes from the early 2000s next time we ever have to do this. Because you guys don't complain, so you must love it.
It's just there's a new As They Lay Dying song with other people and the guy from As They Lay Dying. Great. That's what the world needed.
In other news, in terms of new music, I think this is a band that I don't know if I'd say is controversial, because there's really something bad about them. They don't get into any trouble. I just think a lot of metal people, it all depends on what camp you're split into. If you're split into that like baggy t-shirt, chin beard, liquid metal camp, I think you really love this band. And if you're split into the likes of us, where we just wear like designer eyewear and hate everything, I don't know what the fuck you'd call us, but you probably wouldn't like this band. And I'm talking about Code Orange. There's a lot of back and forth about these guys and whether their latest and greatest is just, what are they doing? This is so weird lately.
Well, it's an interesting case about like the trajectory of the band, because originally they were Code Orange Kids and were like the new style of hardcore, where it was like a little bit hardcore, a little bit punk, maybe even a little bit like not new metal, but like late 90s rock. Like you said, the baggy t-shirt aesthetic. And, you know, I think they were propped up early on as like, you know, these guys are the hot new thing. They're going to be the next wave of hardcore. You know, they were taken out as the opening band for like Killswitch Engage for a while. And, you know, they were getting praise from a lot of these well-established hardcore metalcore bands in that area. It's like, this is it. They're going to be big. And, you know, eventually as time went on, they got rid of the kids part of their name, so they just Code Orange. And they've been dabbling more and more into, like, electronics, industrial, kind of incorporating some of these other types of genres that don't necessarily mesh with hardcore all that much. And as they've strayed further and further, I think people have taken offense almost to, like, how their sound has changed and how they now present themselves. Like I said, used to be in the baggy t-shirt crowd, and now they look like they're in the Matrix.
Yeah, they wear like the PVC jackets and stuff, and they just, I mean, I don't know. I feel like they are just like a bunch of hardcore kids, and they just look like they don't really fit into that aesthetic. They're just kind of putting it on. It's like a Spirit of Halloween thing. They're just showing up to a party to look funny.
I don't know. I think they've just been listening to a lot of 90s soundtracks. Your Spawn soundtracks and Mission Impossible and The Crow and The Matrix and all that. And, you know, this is just kind of their thing now, is this is how they look, this is how they sound. And the new song they just put out this week, a lot of people reacted very negatively to it. And, you know, yeah, I guess I don't want to listen to it either. A lot of people said it reminded them of Power Man 5000 and just kind of that, like, hard rock sort of electronic sort of industrial tinge type stuff. And I take offense to that because Power Man 5000 was fun.
Yeah, it's definitely very ball chain necklace and big goggles music. Like, it's the kind of thing you would bring your snowboarding goggles to a show to listen to.
Yeah, isn't the 90s and early 2000s like the big thing now among Zoomers?
Yeah, I mean, that was one of those things where I never thought that style would come back. Like, out of all the circulating styles, I never thought that we would ever go back to that. I thought we were going to do, like, flappers or something before we ever touch that shit again. But nope, everybody just ironically started wearing, like, trip-style pants and JNCO-style jeans as Zoomers. But they just have, like, this sort of corrupted twist to it. And at the same time, it's like the one thing we can say about that style is that it was totally originally just crafted during that time. Like, it came from primordial ooze. It was just such a legitimate thing that was created out of nowhere. And I'd rather see them try to do something like that next time as opposed to, I don't know what they're doing. Although there's plenty of girls on TikTok and cat ears and horrible Fruity Pebbles attire that proves me wrong. That's totally its own shit.
Like E style, E-girl,
E-girls. Yeah, E-girls is definitely not something we've ever done before.
We failed.
Like the RGB lighted Twitch stream as an actual personality, like, that's not something we've been able to develop previously. So maybe I'll back down on that one. But everybody get your tips frosted, and let's listen to a couple seconds of Out for Blood by Code Orange. Progress. Another backstab to rebirth the process. Fold under pressure. We break bread and play pretend. It makes me sick. Warm for the airwaves. Yeah, look around and make shit. We're saving. We're so far from the future. Moving fast and moving backward. Wow, I learned Kung Fu.
I mean, that's what they like now. That's what they sound like. I always just think of it when bands make a big shift in music. My kind of template is In Flames, where they had, you know, they were a legitimate melodic death metal band, beloved by their fans, and then like slowly shifted away from that and just kind of make, not radio rock, but I guess palatable light metal. maybe is the best way to talk about it.
I don't know if I would say what I will say is I think Code Orange did have a slow shift. Like
they did, but I think it's been a bigger sonic shift and image shift. Like In Flames are just dudes now.
Right.
And they can still fit on a tour opening up for Lamb of God and Slayer and Megadeth.
Okay.
They're not completely out of place. Whereas this, I don't think you could have Code Orange play This Is Hardcore Fest.
I mean, no.
They might try, but I don't think the people going to see Eat Town Concrete and Agents of Man and bands like that are going to be into it.
Yeah, I don't know where I don't know what modern band this could like tour alongside with. Like I said, you would have to have something like a Mayhem Fest, something where people are still wearing like digital camo shorts or something. I don't know. It's a very odd blend of music, but I think that the progression was pretty natural. Like if you listen to Code Orange two albums ago, you could probably see something like this coming from, music to music. I think it makes sense for them, and I'm not that surprised, but
yeah, do whatever you want. It makes no difference to me. I can understand why longtime fans wouldn't like that. And I can understand why new people who haven't heard of them till now also wouldn't like it, because admittedly, there's not a lot of stuff like that going around right now. And it's for us older music listeners who remember when this was a big deal in 1998, and there were a lot of bands like this. It's just kind of weird to go back to it and not do it all that great. We don't need to hear someone yelling check check into a microphone.
I can see how a lot of people don't like this because it's not very good.
Yeah, I mean that doesn't help either.
It's not good music. That's the unfortunate thing. It's just I'm so tired of just being like, well, this is very different. This is such a cultural shift for that. It's shitty. Like it sucks. I can see why people are like, this is terrible, because to me it is terrible. But I don't know. Maybe you like terrible music. Check it out if that's definitely the case. So what else we got on the docket here? I saw that our boy Clown from Slipknot got a little boo boo while he was playing live.
He tore his titty.
Yeah, he tore his titty. He had he was doing the old trash can bang, which is his only instrument. And these guys are in their like late 40s, early 50s, maybe. They're not young guys anymore. And if you watch the video of where it happens, he really is laying into this thing. Because that's what he's known for. That's his thing. They always give it their all at shows. Slipknot has, really always been revered for that. But there's this one point in the video where, like you said, he takes a good swing at it, and you can just see he like doubles over for a second to just feel what the fuck happened. To his credit, though, he keeps going. he brings that beat to its inevitable conclusion. So good for him.
He is a true performer. He toughed it out because the fans deserve to see a grown man almost in his 50s in a clown mask hitting a keg with a baseball bat. I mean, that's what you pay for when you go see Slipknot.
Absolutely. But unfortunately, he is going to be missing the Welcome to Rockville performance so that he can heal this injury. And I think the scariest thing, like what really terrifies me about this fact, is they're going to find out they've never needed Clown all along at all.
Or they're going to find out they have needed him all along, and they just get on stage and they're just completely lost. They're plink, plink when they're trying to play chords. It's just a big mess, and they're going to need him to come back as soon as possible.
He holds the beat, man. That trash can slam, it's just that necessary. You can have two other drummers, but you really need him. And I've always found it so mind-blowing that this was the guy that started this. This was the guy that held it all together. This is like the main business mind behind the band. He's the one who came up with the gimmick and the look and everything. He's like the sole creative force of Slipknot, and it's the guy that bangs on a trash can like Doug Funny from the fucking 90s.
He's the spiritual leader of Slipknot. There would be no Slipknot without this guy who bangs on a trash can. It's pretty great when you think about it. Like, if you don't really have much musical skill, but you have a great vision and you have the right people to build it around you, I mean, it's like what every sports team is, pretty much.
I guess so. Maybe I should give that a shot because I'm very bad at guitar, drums, and bass and singing. So maybe I should just get the baseball bat in the trash can and see what I can come up with.
Just put out a Craigslist ad. All right, boys, I need a great guitarist. I need a great drummer. I need an incredible vocalist. And you're all going to wear these stupid masks and these jumpsuits. And you're going to go by a number instead of a name. And we're going to be billionaires.
All musicians wanted. Even brass ones. I think it's time. I think it's time that we get into
we filled people up to the brim at this point. They're ready to burst.
Yeah, because this is the podcast that you're in. So let's go, man. What have we been talking about? What have we been teasing this whole time? Let's kind of just let this one go. Let's unleash this flow here.
We're just yellow with excitement. I don't even know if that's a phrase, but we're going with it. The big news of the past couple of days is the vocalist for a band that is new to me called Brass Against, which is a Rage Against the Machine cover band, but with, you know, trumpets and horns for some reason. Mm-hmm. The vocalist, Sophia Urista, great name. At the Welcome to Rockville Festival in Daytona Beach, Florida, had the sudden urge to go potty while on stage. And rather than running off stage to take care of it quickly or, you know, doing your best to try not to have an accident, instead got a volunteer up from the crowd on stage. And how do I put this delicately? Pissed on his face.
She literally, in front of thousands of people, dropped trowel, hunched over, and just unleashed a really impressive river of piss on this guy's face. She really had to go.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I don't doubt that. I mean, clearly she had to. But, yeah, in the age of lots of people having camera phones, there's footage of it, and you could really pretty much find it on any music website over the past couple of days. And, you know, probably some websites you can't visit while you're at work. It's probably there too.
Yeah. I wouldn't take a shot at any of that. But the piss course has been wild. There's been so much back and forth about this. I think it's probably one of the most exciting things to happen all year, which is strange. that it takes some random cover band with a gimmick to get us all talking this much.
You know, we thought it was going to be a shitty year, but it turned out to be a pissy year.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. It's the piss course, as you say. People have been really defensive about the whole thing in different directions.
Oh my God. We've seen this thing go to what's really rock and roll. We've seen what's good stage presence, like what's good etiquette for stage antics, and how you have to treat the venues and how you have to treat the other musicians. And I've seen myself like a lot of kink discourse about this, mm-hmm. which why
kink discourse is leaking into metal discourse.
Yeah. It's just, It's just like, what a thing to get defensive about publicly. But hey, I mean, to each their own. Apparently, this gentleman was very excited to have it happen to him. He was, you can see in the video, he's very excited. He's very glad to have this occur.
This was his mecca.
Yeah, really. I want to know more about the big bald guy that it happened to. Maybe
we'll find him and get him on the show.
Yeah, it's just like we're talking about some like this guy's really the metal crowd rando. He's got his vest on.
He looks like Matt Pinfield.
It probably is Matt Pinfield. I'm gonna throw that out there. It's definitely Matt
Matt Pinfield. Matt Pinfield piss conspiracy theory started right here.
Conspiracy theory. I hate this. I think it's silly. It's rock and roll, it's fine, but it's, you know, I think it's gross. Like, I'm like, it's gross. It is. I'm not that grossed out by it. Like, I'm not that upset by it, but.
And you should be allowed to say it's gross.
Yeah, I shouldn't offend half the metal population by saying like, man, that's kind of nasty. But like, if I saw it as a, you know, as a concert attendee, I would be like, well, that's funny. But then I would see the guy come out with the mop after the fact, and I would think, maybe it's a little less funny.
Just guy walking back to his friends, high-fiving everyone. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. People got very weird about this very weird thing. And, I mean, it descended into talks about consent and, you know, is this illegal? It was done in public. And it's just like, man, I want no part of this. I want no splashback from any of this.
Oh, okay. That's funny. You really got then, the puns, man. It's all band you.
They were going to. I don't know if anything's changed. They were going to be Tool's opening band.
They're probably going to stay Tool's opening band. I think if anything, this has thrust them into the spotlight, the golden bright spotlight, if you will, in a way that, I don't know, I think this is only going to do good things for them. It has people, there's no such thing as bad publicity, right? People are talking about them now. However, with all that said,
I mean, then you're the piss band for the rest of your life.
Oh, that too. You know, now it's just going to be a thing you've got to do at every show. She's got to load up on beer and water every single show and have a volunteer come on and get their face pissed on.
Just lots of Pedialyte.
Yeah.
The band is now branded with a yellow scarlet A. This is, I don't know. I don't even know what to say about this. He seemed happy. She seemed happy to do it. And then they put out an apology, which wasn't really an apology. We had a great time at Daytona last night at Welcome to Rockville. Sophia got carried away. That's not something the rest of us expected, and it's not something you'll see again at Brass Against shows. Thanks for bringing it last night, Daytona.
Why not? I mean, just piss on the everybody. Who cares? Like, if that's just what the people want, then, you know, go right ahead.
That's just punk rock.
I mean, she's a pretty lady. If you're into pretty ladies peeing on you, then you're going to be disappointed if you go to these shows and it doesn't happen. She's kind of set herself up for failure here.
No shame. Maybe you can book something private if you want, but that's their business. That's none of ours. But ultimately, to come out of all of this, I have to say, who is this music for? Why do we need a Rage Against the Machine cover band with a trombone player? It doesn't appeal to ska fans. I don't know how much that's going to appeal to Rage Against the Machine fans. I guess it's just a thing to kill 30 minutes in between real bands at a festival.
Yeah, this is definitely a band that paid to play. Like, there's great. It's like that. That sounds really quirky for a wedding. Is that you got a guy with a tuba who can do some of your 90s favorites?
Small things on a bagpipe.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at like a band photo of the band, and we're definitely talking like a group of New York City art hoes that are probably living in some significant other's support to go out and do this sort of thing. If not the parental support to go and do this sort of thing, maybe that's mean. Maybe they made it big on cryptocurrency. I don't know.
And just watching this video before the aforementioned piss incident happened, just watching these people holding trumpets and trombones and saxophones, like grooving to Rage Against the Machine, was just very doofy looking. It's like throwing their shoulders around, like, oh yeah, Gorilla Radio. Do 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 do.
Very silly. I guess I thought that the Gigi Allen comparisons were really fucking silly.
Well, Gigi Allen was out of his mind.
Yeah, and Gigi Allen was like a legitimately bad person. He wasn't doing it for like shock rock. He wasn't doing it to just like artistically make you uncomfortable. He did bad things. He did a lot of bad things. And eventually it took its toll on him to a point where he left this world earlier than he should have. I don't think anyone ever said that when Gigi Allen did it, it was okay. But when I don't know where that fucking comparison came from.
when he shit in his hand and chased after people in the venue. That was punk rock.
Yeah. Now that was okay. When a man shits in his mouth, it's punk rock. When a woman pisses on a guy's face, suddenly it's a problem. That's another thing is, like, you'll see the discourse where, okay, like I said, I think it's gross, but I don't care enough to get involved to a point where, and I'm also not upset about it. Like, I'm not angry with her. I don't think that people shouldn't do that if they want to do that at the show. And
it's just a weird thing to see on stage at a rock and metal festival. Just kind of happen like that.
And I'm like, I'm sorry if you're a prude, if that makes me a prude. Like, if you're the kind of person that needs to get wee-weed on in order to come, like, hey, man, all the power to you. That's great. Fine. As long as, you know, every party involved is really cool with it and you check in, go the fuck ahead. Do whatever you want to each other. But, yeah, I don't think for a second that I would come at this in an angle where I think it's like, yeah, that's rock and roll. That's cool. You know, because I don't know, maybe I've been in the service industry too long. Maybe I've talked to promoters and people in venues for so long that had artists come in and break stuff or fuck up monitors or just any of that other thing. So it's like someone eventually had to kind of clean this up. And maybe I'm just empathetic in that light. I don't know.
It's the poor band that had to play after them and try not to slip.
Yeah, like, this is not the closing act of the night. There's no fucking way that was the case.
I don't know. Good way to end the year, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess so. I hate them. I hate them. I just don't like them. It's another bad band with a bad idea. And it's like, if they're gonna, maybe they can use this as an excuse to make their own original tunes. Do they have their own original tunes? I don't actually know that. Maybe I'm talking, you know, out of my ass.
I don't know. I will not look it up.
I will. Let's look it up. We got time. Brass Against. I'm just going to type it in Google. I'm just going to let it go.
See, I've seen them listed as a Rage Against Machine cover band.
The band curates songs from a variety of influences, from Tool, Rage Against the Machine, Soundgarden, Black Sabbath, Run the Jewels, as well as their own compositions in a heavy Brassfield symphony. So there you go.
That somehow sounds more annoying than just being a Rage Against the Machine cover band with horns.
Black Hole Sun. Psh! All right. Brass Against has toured extensively throughout the world, playing shows and festivals, and have shared the stage with Tool, Prophets of Rage, Lenny Kravitz, Living Color, Royal Blood, Mike D of the Beastie Boys, and Ben Harper, and more.
So you hear that, kids? And instead of working hard in your garage and crafting original songs, just do other people's stuff with a gimmick, and you'll probably get some attention, whether it's, you know, metal songs with trumpets or dressing up like Ned Flanders.
They have 102,000 monthly listeners on Spotify, which is a lot more than many of us. Wow, they actually have like 2.5 million listens on their biggest song, The Pot. Who did The Pot?
Tool,
that's right. We have some letters of recommendation. We have some quotes from other artists about what a great band Brass Against is. Here we go. Incredible brass band, Tom Morello. Thanks, Tom.
Well, I'm glad he managed to go full sense without mentioning he went to Harvard.
Guys, look, we got added by Tom Morello. Look. Dude, I could go get added by Tom Morello in 5 minutes right now. I would just add him and say, hey, would you let the girl from Brass Against piss on your face? And he would go, yes! Exclamation point. Just like he kind of is here.
He would hold his fist up in the air and make weird guitar sounds.
I hate this thing. This is a bad thing. And I hate it for more than the reason than what happened here. I dislike it from like an artistic sense. I don't care about the pee anymore.
This is the only thing they're going to be known for ever again. They are the piss band.
Yep. Yeah, they're the wee-wee band with trombones and trumpets and flutes and oboes and cellos. Not cellos.
We're here talking about it.
They could stand a cello, though. They should do like a tour with Apocalyptica. And then, like,
still a thing, right?
Yeah, she could run on the stage and piss on all their cellos.
Again, why? Why is that still a thing? Go away.
Oh, Apocalyptica?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's still a thing. Maybe that was one of the things that the pandemic took out was Apocalyptica.
I think they like started to do their own original music and people went, nah, we're good.
Yeah, that song with the guy from like 3 Days Grace or whatever.
If you were dead, you're still alive. I don't care.
It's not been a big thing, but there's occasionally crops up these either metal adjacent or featuring members of real bands doing not metal music and attaching themselves to tours, whether it's this Brass Against thing or the Apocalyptica thing or a Mariachi El Bronx. Like, we're branching out and doing different stuff, and we're just going to do this forever now and be on so many tours.
I think that I'm going to start a metal band with just like one clarinet player. I just think we need something that's like, that's the key to success, is just having a rock or metal band where somebody's playing something a little weird.
Word for yellow card.
Oh man, you took the words right out of my mouth.
And we all enjoy a little saxophone in our black metal occasionally. That's different and nice. So yeah, throw in someone just thrashing around on stage with a clarinet.
Yeah, like, why the fuck should saxophone be some random accent to make you go, ooh, it's some random part in, like, a tech death album? Fuck that. Make him, like, the front man. Make it that guy who did, like, the saxophone meme those years ago. He should be fronting his own metal band.
You have that with Yakuza. Bruce Lamont plays saxophone and does vocals, so it does kind of exist. But it's just funnier with a clarinet, just playing in some basement, grabbing someone by the shirt and clarinetting right in their face.
Yeah, just like definitely some Kenny G level, just smooth jazz. I would like that. I would like that a lot. No, I wouldn't. I take it back. I don't know. I don't know what I like anymore. I just don't like this.
Maybe the guys from Archspire can create the clarinet spire and do all their songs techie style, but with, you know, little recorders and oboes.
Yeah, I definitely think there should be like a metal band. Like, I'm looking at this this band photo again, and I'm trying not to judge these guys. I really am not, but it's just, it's hard. They definitely are from New York City. And yeah, I think they should all, like, every single one of them should just replace their instrument with a recorder, like one of those $5 recorders you get from the box in kindergarten. That's what they should get.
I mean, it could always be worse. You could always just be a hired gun for a legacy band, and then you're just stuck waiting for someone to tell you what to do so you can get paid.
Yeah, or you could be a hot cross bun for a legacy band and play the recorder.
Let me segue.
I don't ever want to let you segue. John Denius from Anthrax, I'm sorry, from Shadows Fall, is now in Anthrax, and apparently not that much. So you want to go into that a bit?
Yeah, see, when I saw this article, I didn't even know he was the guitarist for Anthrax. I guess my brain always defaults to the three guys who are Anthrax and occasionally a vocalist that comes in and out. And I'm not wrong, because in this interview that John Denius did with the Classic Metal Show.
The Classic Metal Show, which is not as popular of a podcast as ours. It's not as good.
Jonathan Denius was recorded with the band, I believe, for their last two albums, Worship Music and For All Kings. And he was asked, you know, what's going on with this new effort? How's recording going? How's writing? And he said, I haven't heard any music yet, so I couldn't tell you. But I know they recently got together, those guys recently got together, and we're working on it. I'm anxious to hear it. I can't wait to hear it. And so it was followed up by the host of The Classic Metal Show. If he was involved in any of the songwriting process for the new album, and he said, nope. All bands work different, man. They have a way that's worked, and they have a strong 40-year career. So if it's not broken, don't mess with it. And, I mean, to me, it's very much just like you're a hired gun and you're not involved with anything, which makes sense knowing Anthrax's long career of having the core members and everyone else kind of rotating in and out.
Yeah, but I feel like if you're in the band photos these days, you should have a say. Like, yeah. if you're the next guy in the leather jacket and the sunglasses and you're really like John Denius joins Anthrax, I think that's like a big enough deal that, I mean, especially coming from his pedigree, I mean, Shadows Fall was despite what you think, like, that was, at least in terms of guitar work, that was an incredible band. Those guys are freaking phenomenal guitarists, and they came up with awesome riffs. I remember when the Anthrax news came out, I mean, we're talking about a guy who was local to my area, like a Springfield area guy, who came up in the metal scene to the point where he joined fucking one of the big four bands. Like, that was a big deal. We knew all about it. We were all talking about it the moment it happened. So yeah, it was a little heartbreaking to find out that, like, he just kind of has to sit around and wait for them to tell him what to do and what he's allowed to play. And during the writing process, he doesn't get to say, hey, what if we tried this kind of flourish? And hey, I thought of this riff for an Anthrax style thing. Maybe we could try this. And they just, I mean, maybe he knows better than to even try, but I feel like that's kind of a bummer. It just highlights that he's replaceable.
He's a hired gun. And my thinking is, why not just get a studio person at that point? Hire him for a week or two and just, hey, can you play this? Cool, play it. And I would say Anthrax probably doesn't even need that at this point. I
mean, no, they
presumably they can play their own stuff.
Right. Like, if Scott Ian can just play the melody part as well as the rhythm part, there's no reason he needs anyone in the studio. So that would mean that it's possible that John here just plays during shows.
Which, then he, like, should be listed as a touring member then, right?
Exactly, right? So it's just, at the same point, here he is making all this money, and he's got, like, signature gear coming out, and he's just, you know, he's made it, I guess. Good for him. Hey, I don't know. I don't know if I would complain if I were in his situation either, but, eh. He was a bit of a sour taste in the fans' mouth. Like, guys who knew him from where he came from, and, like, you know, what he's capable of as, like, not only a guitarist, but a writer. Like, he's a freaking awesome guitarist. So I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Does it bother you if you see a band, a well-known band, whether you want to call them a legacy act or just well-established, playing live with maybe only one or two members, original members or longtime members, and just the rest is just, I don't know who that guy playing bass is. I don't care. I'm getting to hear the song I like.
I mean, I guess a part of me will always be a little bit bothered because maybe there's a chance I could have seen all of the original members, but at the same time, I think that you have members of a band that are very necessary to that band. And then there are some members that, even if they've been there for a long time, not so much. Like, I don't think anyone really is churning over and in just physical pain over the fact that Dave Ellefson isn't in Megadeth anymore. Like, he's been in and out of that band as a bassist so many times. Like, yeah, he was an old school member. He was there in the beginning and he made, like, a lot of really cool, interesting albums with them, but I don't know, they made just as many good or bad albums without him. So it kind of is what it is. Like, Dave Mustaine is really the whole effing show when it comes to Megadeth.
Yeah, and if Dave Mustaine left Megadeth and they continued on under the Megadeth name with, I don't know, Zakk Wylde doing the guitars and the vocals, that's a bridge too far.
Right, like, literally no one would pay a $40 ticket price to go see that. Like, no one would care. It's like the whole thing with Iced Earth replacing Matt Barlow with, oh my God, Tim Ripper Owens. Like, no one wanted to see that. And I know that John Schaefer is kind of the guy, but fuck him. He's not really. Like, he thinks he is, and Iced Earth has continued on with so many singers, but I don't really think he's the one that completes the band.
It's kind of like a clown Corey Taylor situation.
Right.
You know, clown is the mastermind behind everything, but if Corey Taylor left, that's a bigger game changer than if clown would leave.
Right.
At least, like, for musical fans and purposes.
And that's, like, that's a great point. I know years ago Bill Ward left Black Sabbath, and I thought it was fucking really cringy that they, like, edited him out of band photos and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was a really strange creative decision.
Sharon.
But I think I could have been really stoked to see Tony Iommi and Geezer Butler and Ozzy Osbourne play together with a different drummer. Like I probably would have been okay watching that with somebody else hiding behind 20 toms and cymbals who I really couldn't see anyway.
You wouldn't be like, oh, Vinny Appice, oh, I'm out of here. Right? Forget this. It's like, whatever, just play War Pigs.
It's like people who are mad that Mike Mangini became the drummer for Dream Theater. It's like, shut the fuck up. Shut up. Who cares?
And at the end of the day, he's getting paid, Jonathan Donais is, to do whatever it is he does. I think it does concern me a little bit for like writing credit and getting money from that is possibly kind of the underlying reason for not involving him in this stuff. Like, I know Rob Caggiano left Anthrax like 7-8 years ago. Mm-hmm. Part of the reason was he wasn't being involved in the music process, and now he's in Volbeat, and they are playing above Anthrax on a lot of these big festivals, and I'm sure he's getting paid a lot better too.
Yeah, and I think the greatest tragedy is that if they just allowed Donais the ability to contribute, Anthrax would be a much better band than they are right now. I think
maybe he will later on. We don't know, but presumably they've been working on this stuff. Their last album came out 5 years ago, almost 6 years ago. So they've presumably been working on some of these things and texting back and forth and trying to figure things out. You'd think you'd want to have the guy who can play guitar pretty well to at least hear some of it, maybe.
Yeah, it's just strange because, I mean, Anthrax hasn't put out a good album, I mean, since the 80s, let's just fucking say it. Like, there's nothing really that great coming out of the woodwork for them. Their latest style is just, it's, I mean, and you could say this about everybody in the big four, it's just so mediocre and so has been, and I think if they had some fresh young blood like John, who isn't that fresh and that young, like he's been a musician for 20 years himself, like if you brought that in, maybe you might be able to make something really interesting and cool. But instead, you just leave the guy on read and you just fucking record and write all the music yourselves. And then we get another Of All Kings or whatever. And no, thank you. That's great.
They could probably use a little injection of new ideas just coming from a different place and not being surrounded by the same couple people half your life, and just different style and different skill. And, you know, it wouldn't kill to have a little bit something new that may get in new fans and not just play for the same 50-year-olds all the time. I don't know. Maybe they don't need it. They're pretty much just headlining touring band for smaller venues, and during the summer they'll play festivals and maybe they'll get attached whenever Slayer decides to get back together again, and that's good enough. And you just crank out these albums to make a couple of bucks and to fulfill your contract requirements.
Yeah, forget Kerry King. I think Anthrax was hurt the most by Slayer breaking up. They have no shows to play anymore.
Who will Lamb of God open for now?
I know. Yeah, there's been some interesting stuff going on with Lamb of God. I've heard some things about them getting involved in like NFTs or their own cryptocurrency.
Yeah. So Randy Blythe from Lamb of God and Dez Fafara from Devil Driver and, you know, Cold Chamber, they are like backing or launching, I don't know the terminology really behind whatever this Ponzi scheme is, a new cryptocurrency called Chakra Coin. I guess it's like Chakra Khan, maybe, if you're trying to be funny.
It's gotta be, right? Like a Chakra Khan pun. That's so great. That's so funny.
This thing is designed to, quote, foster community and invest in charitable causes. What an amazing amount of double speak / no speak. Words that make sense in your head, but when you put them together and look at them for more than 5 seconds, mean nothing.
Yeah, it's a way to make real money. And maybe, you know, actual U.S. dollars would do better things for a charity than whatever the fuck you guys have going on. Cryptocurrency has always been such a mixed bag for me because I think it could very well be the future of money. Like, the way that it actually works, Because a big point I can make is that we're kind of working with digital money right now anyway. Every time you go on Amazon and you spend $20, $50 on something, it digitally comes out of your online bank on your card that's attached to your app or, you know, your banking website, and you see your money go away after the check gets deposited from your job or whatever. It's all happening over transactions. Like, no one's really taking dollar bills out of their pocket and putting it somewhere when you do all these transactions. So digital currency makes sense.
But it is backed by established, credible organizations, banks and trusts and, you know, creditors and things like that.
Oh, of course it is.
Which also is backed by your government.
Yeah, of course, and it has been for centuries.
It's not some fucking chucklehead in his room saying, yeah, this is worth 10 Dogecoin, Matt, because I said so.
It got very messy. It definitely did. If we just had something like Bitcoin or Ethereum and we were able to just be like, okay, this is a digital currency we can use to buy stuff online, it wouldn't have ended up the way it is. But what happened is everybody figured out, hey, this is a great investing tool. Let's fucking play with it that way. And now Bitcoin is worth $70,000 to $80,000, and no one is ever going to be able to fucking hold on to it in a way where they can spend it anywhere, because it's literally the only purpose that any of these things have is to play a fucking lottery game on your Coinbase app on your phone. That's all these things are. That's what's going to happen with this fucking Shaver coin. It's just a way to get in on this stupid little money-making game.
It's a scam. It's a grift. A couple weeks ago, there was some Squid Game-based cryptocurrency that disappeared overnight, because of course it did, because people want to, they're apologetic, almost millionaires, and they want a sweet piece of that Elon Musk pie too, because he tweeted out something incredibly stupid, and they think they're going to be rich as well. And yeah, I don't know. I want no part of this, and I definitely don't want any part of something involving vocalists from metal bands.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, I had kind of fucked around with like the meme coins a bit, like the SHIB coin and the Doge coin, and you know, I threw a little bit of Ethereum at Bitcoin just because, you know, I had some money to burn and I was bored and I wanted to see how it worked. I'm talking like $20, $30, $40 over the course of several weeks, and like, okay, I turned $40 into $120 overnight. That's pretty cool. But then if you don't take that money out and you think to yourself, hold, everybody, hold, it's going to be $1 million someday, it turns back into $4. And that's just how the fucking game is played.
How could this happen? Jamie Justice said buy on the dip.
Yeah, it turns out if you buy on the dip, you just make more worthless money.
You're a dip.
Yeah, you're a dip, really. It's such a silly thing, and I'm going to... there's this little part of me where I'm like, if I just take my money out and just put it back in my pockets, I know that's going to be the point when I could have been a trillionaire. But, you know, like, I don't know, man. It's like scratch tickets, right? You spend $20 on a scratch ticket, that $20 is gone. You didn't make $1 million. So, and play again or don't. It's gambling. It's a fucking slot machine. That's all it is.
None of us are going to be trillionaires. And you read these stories about people getting locked out of their Bitcoin wallets and they'll never be able to get their money ever again, or people getting kidnapped and being forced to fork over all of their Ethereum. Just nonsense. I know this $5 bill that I have in my hands is worth $5. I can give it to someone in exchange for goods and services. That's all I need.
Yeah. There's really no way to invest in a way that will give you like proper returns unless you have an incredibly diversified portfolio that's set up by an expert. And that's for the most part what your 401k is, right? So if you have a 401k at your job, that's probably your best bet at investing. I mean, if you go on Robinhood or you go on Coinbase and you try to invest your own money, you're not going to do anything right. You're going to make money by accident, completely by accident. It's literally the lottery for white collar.
And I don't need to listen to the guy who wrote Rowboat and Big Truck to tell me what to do with my finances. So in this press release that was put out for Shakracoin, Des Fafara says, I'm a believer in Shakracoin. We started this venture to create a community of giving back and paying it forward. I will donate partial proceeds to multiple charity organizations. I hope that everyone who participates in ChakraCoin will do the same, creating a better world and a more cohesive existence for everyone involved. Which okay. charities? How much? When? Where? How? Why? All of these details.
You're right. It really is like a lot of non-words.
In more technical terms, the ChakraCoin combines, quote, profitable yield-generating DeFi, and safe store of value, a gas-free cryptocurrency free from friction and borders, with a disruptive aim of helping to usher in a fairer economic standard of living. And Randy Blythe says, the potential of fall into a coma reading this. The potential of blockchain technology, including DeFi and cryptocurrencies, to create a more equitable system of wealth distribution is extremely intriguing to me. It is my hope that being involved on the ground floor with a cryptocurrency community that holds a charitable component as one of its core tenets will be one small step towards creating a fairer, more altruistic economic system for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Concluded Fafara. Is it Doge or Dog?
It's Doge.
Dogcoin, Shiba Inu, Safe Moon. These could all be made up. I don't know.
They're all very real.
And all of the stuff people are putting money and their lives on the line for Shiba Inu. Anyway.
Thousands at a time.
Just fuck. God fucking damn it. I'm going to die mad. And all of the stuff happening with cryptocurrencies is immensely exciting. My hope is that ChakraCoin will encourage others to share the wealth with the less fortunate. We don't know who these less fortunate are. We don't have names. We don't have receipts. It's just, you know, it's going to help. It's the what the people fund. It's the US Festival. It's going to go to people in need, people like you and me.
The people who sold the dip, those are the less fortunate. I think it's really, I mean, they put out a news story about a guy who bought $8,000 worth of Shiba coin, like before, or Shiba token. It's not a coin, it's a token. Okay. Ethereum is a coin. It's just Shiba is a token because it's based on the coin.
It's completely different.
It's all fucking made up. So, someone had $8,000, life-changing money for some people, $8,000 they dropped on Shiba and then just let it sit. They just kept it there without thinking about it. And now they're a billionaire because it went up an insane percentage. It went from being worth $0 to 0.0000058 cents. And that gain for the $8,000 was enough to make this guy a billionaire. And now so people got into it.
Now do all those stories about the people who put money into it and lost money.
There's a guy named Breno that you all know and love, and he put $45 down and he made like $80 and was like, oh shit, let me put a little more down on this dip. And then he had $145 and then it became $162 and he was like, oh sick, cool. Let me hold for a little bit. Let me see where this goes. And now it's back down to $100. So I lost $20 and therefore I'm not going to be able to get gasoline as easily as I would have any other week because I thought I could get rich fast.
Well, you could always invest in GameStop. That's still going hot, right?
No, I don't think
remember
so.
That for a week.
I mean, it's all a week. All of this shit happens in like an hour. And if you weren't there for the hour, you fucked up. Because every time something like this happens, there's 7,000 articles made about it every waking second. And it fuels this craze of people who are way too late to the game and just don't know how to spend their money. And so they honestly believe, all right, if I take $10,500 and I put it on this fake video game money, it's going to turn into $1 million overnight, like it did with this other guy. And it takes your $10,000 and it turns it into $5,000 and then it turns it into $1 and then it turns it into $10,001 and then it turns it into no dollars again. And it stays at no dollars for fucking 7 months, 8 months, 10 years. That's the story. That's what's going to happen.
You go to cash out your $1 million and someone just says, No.
Right. All the $1 million you put into this like weird Chinese phone app. Wow. It doesn't come back to you. That's terrible. I'm sorry to hear that.
I have no interest in this, and I super have no interest in metal bands getting involved in cryptocurrencies, NFTs, any of this stuff. No. If you want to do it, have fun. I want no part of it.
Yeah. The key term when it came to ChakraCoin was the word profitable. All this is to make lots of money. And it's not going to work. So the best thing you could do, the worst possible thing you could do for any charitable organization is take that money that they could have used to help people and turn around and put it on ChakraCoin over this weird, disingenuous insanity that it will be worth enough to really help people somehow better.
I'm asking anyone who's listening, if cryptocurrency is your thing, cool, whatever, that's your thing. Please get a ChakraCoin, whatever, however that's done, do it. And then go to a Lamb of God show or a Devil Driver show and try to buy merchandise with it and let us know how it goes.
There you go. Also, if you're into getting your face pissed on, go to a Brass Against show and kindly request that it happens to you. And let us know that how that goes.
Go to the merch table, wallet in hand, just kind of look around at stuff. Just, yeah. So I was wondering,
$20, $40. What's your price, lady? I'm gonna take $30
bucks on me right now.
I'm gonna take a shit in that guy's tuba, and just like let's see how far they want to put this toilet thing out. Like let's see how many bodily functions they can tolerate on stage. I'm gonna shit in his tuba while he's playing it.
We'll sponsor their next tour. Toilet of Hell presents Brass Against.
I think we're gonna close it out there. Thank you all for listening, and hopefully things settle down for Joe. He's going through a lot, trying to get his house stuff in order, trying to get himself set up in a new home. And I think this morning he like drove an hour just to send us a DM because he had no internet connection. So. We appreciate him. We hope to get him back on the show next week or the following week. So, yeah, we'll let you know. And is there any closing statements you might have, Jordan, before we let everybody get the fuck out of here?
God, what a stupid week this was.
It always is. All right. Keep it metal. Keep it safe. And we'll see you next week.
Piss off.
Change in the air. The colors seem much brighter.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.